Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good day. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. In a little bit, we're going to get into the most controversial things people pretend to hate.
Okay.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to that. And we got some other good stuff here, too. Want to touch kick off with some entertainment news. And Tom Holland had a kind of funny interview the other day. This kid it just does funny interviews.
Okay.
He's pretty vulnerable, pretty transparent with a lot of these things. It's actually got him in trouble where because he works as Spider-Man as one of his main gigs. Mm-hmm. And Marvel is all about keeping these things under wraps. And Tom kind of spills the beans sometimes.
Oops.
And everything. So he's had to have actually in his contracts, he can't go to a premiere of one of his movies. He gets too excited. And he shouts stuff in the you know, and things, and he yells at the screen. He just
really,
yeah.
Wow.
He's an excited kid. He's an excited
okay.
guy. Tom Holland is a trained carpenter as well.
Hmm.
Everybody's got to have a side gig.
Yeah.
And Tom worked with his hands, like a lot of us. I did. You know, a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
His parents sent him to carpentry school back in 2014 when he wasn't booking any projects. And it wasn't all for nothing because he jokes that he won Zendaya over early in their relationship by fixing her door. Tom says, quote, I was hanging out at her house and her door was broken. I was like, I'm going to fix that door for you. And now we're in love. Carpentry is something I just really enjoy. I love it. I made my mom's kitchen table. I made my mom's office. I built all the cupboards in my bedroom. I built a little birdhouse with my granddad.
Hmm.
Something that he really likes doing.
Yeah.
And he is not the only actor that does this. There is a lot of actors that are into home improvement stuff, that are into carpentry. I think most famously, Harrison Ford. Harrison
okay.
Ford, you know, one of the, if I got the chance to interview him, one of the first questions I would be something I heard him say in an interview early on in his career. I should be building something. if acting didn't pay what it does, I guarantee you that Harrison Ford would be a carpenter. Like, well, he just really enjoys that work.
Yeah, creative personalities, creative people like to make stuff. If you're not making something on stage or in front of a camera, you make it in your backyard.
There's nothing like working with your hands, too.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's getting your hands in the dirt or on a piece of wood or anything like that. Yeah,
yep.
That is pretty cool. And also, it does not, I think he's right. I think that he definitely, I'm not saying he won her in one moment or anything like that. I don't think you can win somebody in a certain moment necessarily, but that definitely helped.
Huh.
That didn't hurt.
Mm-mm.
This is just another sort of that ain't wrong, that ain't right story. The TV show The Idol on HBO.
Okay.
It stars The Weeknd and Lily Rose Depp. The Weeknd, famous for Blinded Lights and Can't Feel My Face and all this. This is his first real acting gig.
Okay.
And it's a lead role on a big TV show on HBO with no... HBO has no parameters. You can go anywhere you want. You can say anything, do anything on HBO shows. So it's pretty, you walk into this as an actor, and it's not, I don't think, as difficult as it is to do network TV, where you have FCC things and stuff like that that you got to worry about and all that. I say all this to try to be, because that's as nice as I can be now. Because I'm a fan of The Weeknd. I like his music a lot. And I think really Lily Rose Depp is a fine actress who is building her career.
Mm-hmm.
This is arguably the worst TV show since Cop Rock. This has been getting bashed by everybody, from just regular everyday people to critics. Nobody believes The Weeknd is this character. Like, he is not become believable at all. And every single person keeps asking, like, Hank Azaria has a bit part in this, Lily Rose Depp. And, like, the big thing is why? Why did you do this? Why would you do this with your career? And if you needed an example of it, they're not the only ones. HBO, who hosts this show, is also wondering, what did we do?
Hmm.
If you're one of the few people who's enjoying the TV show The Idol, you may be disappointed. We have some bad news, actually. The season finale of The Idol will air this coming Sunday after 5 episodes. And that's got fans confused because it was originally announced that there would be 6 episodes.
Okay.
That doesn't mean HBO is ditching the other episode. They're just not playing it. That may be because they're tuning it up. They're trying to change it, maybe add some things. Who knows?
Hmm.
There was a bunch of behind behind-the-scenes chaos earlier this year, and after some members of the creative team were replaced, the plan changed, so they did an episode count. There's still no word from HBO on a second season. I would be very surprised if this gets a second season. HBO is known for cutting shows off maybe a little too soon, but if anything, soon enough usually. And they're not... they're pretty good about this. You look at the history of great shows in American TV history, a lot of them come from HBO and in recent history, too. Mm-hmm. They just got done wrapping up Succession, one of the biggest shows that have been around in the last 30, 40 years.
And isn't that where Game of Thrones was on?
In Game of Thrones, The Sopranos. I mean, a ton of great. HBO is one of those networks. There are actors I like in a show, I'll watch it. I'll give it a chance because it's an HBO product. But this one is not one of them. This is not one of them.
Well, it's, you know, it's got a 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hey, you know.
5.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Some people like it.
Some people.
Yeah, some people. I don't know. It might be the weekend. It might be the weekend. I don't know. This is a fun one. I thought this would be a fun one to get into, Melissa. Which artists have the most loyal fan bases? Well, we don't have to argue about it anymore because science has figured it out for us.
Oh, science! Good. Thank you, science.
She blinded me with science. A new survey asked fans a bunch of questions like how far they'd be willing to travel for a concert, how much they'd be willing to pay for tickets, and whether they would take money from their savings to see a show. Somehow they turned this into a system that rated people's fandom on a scale from 0 to 100.
Okay.
So according to this chart, let's take a look at this. I want to start at number 10, number 1 with this one.
Let's do 10.
All right. So at number 10, Harry Styles with 44, with a score of 40.
Okay.
So not bad. Not bad.
No, he's plenty pretty popular.
Eminem at number 9. Little surprised by that, considering, you know, hasn't necessarily had a couple of hits in a long time or anything.
They've been around a while, though.
Yeah, he has. Beyonce. Beyonce at 51%.
That's not surprising.
It's surprising to me that it's that low.
Yeah.
When we hear some of these other names, I would think Beyonce, the Queen Bee, would be right up there with Taylor Swift or something. Lana Del Rey at number 7. Ooh. 52%.
Nice.
Would travel to here. Queen at number 6. Pretty interesting with them not touring for decades. And Freddie Mercury, you know, we lost him over 20 years ago. That's very interesting to me that people would still, I don't know. Taylor Swift at number 5. Maybe not surprising, but a little surprising that she's not a little higher up.
Yeah.
60%, a 60 score for her. I don't know how to give these scores. I feel like I'm giving like gymnastic scores a little bit here.
60.
Yeah. Lady Gaga at number 4 was 66.3.
Ooh.
Pretty good.
She's a really, I think, would be a very fun act to see in person.
Yeah.
She's very dynamic.
I'd like to see that show. Yeah. Her Super Bowl halftime show really won a lot of people over. It's one of the few times in the Super Bowl show history. Usually it's an artist that already has that fan base, and she certainly did. But it's one of those times where her fan base like grew overnight with her. She was already one of the biggest stars in the world. She does the Super Bowl, and she becomes a world-famous person. Elton John at number 3.
That's
Sir Elton
not
John.
Surprising.
No. I can't imagine how cool
What's his score?
66.4. And Elton John scored a... Sir Elton John, representing England, scored a 66.4.
Nice.
Coming from the Americas, Michael Jackson scores a 76.8.
Wow.
Again, surprising considering not only the controversy that is attached to his career, but you know, the fact that he hasn't been around in 20 some years.
Yeah.
And even before that, he hadn't been touring for a long time.
No.
And BTS at number 1 with 88.4%. Not surprising.
Wow.
I am surprised to not see like a Bad Bunny on here or something. I think of that only because of the BTS thing. With an artist, let's take Taylor Swift and Beyonce. I think that it's pretty safe to say that in North America, the two biggest artists, if not two of the biggest artists in North America.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you can argue that. You can give little, you know, notes here and there and everything, but it's pretty hard to argue that those two are not two of the biggest, if not the biggest artists, and certainly the biggest ticket sales artists. We've seen this with Taylor Swift in recent months and everything. There's that, and then there's BTS. a band out of
South Korean,
out of South Korea
boy band. Yep,
that is not only big in every Asian continent, mm-hmm. but big, humongous here with their work. And and it makes me think of Bad Bunny, because Bad Bunny, there's Taylor Swift fame, and then there's Bad Bunny fame, where right. you're the biggest selling artist in every Latin American country,
mm-hmm.
and you're like a top five artist here in the States.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's the different type of fame. I love the idea of Aaron Rodgers standing next to Lionel Messi, and him being completely ignored, and nobody knowing who he is. Like, that would blow his mind if he had that happen to him. But that's mm-hmm. the case. That's the way the rest of the world is. The rest of the world could give a darn less about an American quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe even a Tom Brady doesn't really rank that high compared to a Lionel Messi or some of these things. We get a little tunnel vision. We get in our own little bubble here, and we're all guilty of it. I do it too sometimes. So I'm
it's
not
easy
saying.
To do.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the genre with the most loyal fan base is R&B, with a score of 82. It followed by rap, then pop, then hip-hop, and then electronics. Also, I'm very surprised to not see country music anywhere on that list.
Yeah.
Country fans seem to travel.
Taylor Swift does do country. I mean, she is a crossover artist, but she definitely has some country.
Also, the average American reports they're willing to travel over 600 miles to see their favorite artists. 1 in 10 would go into debt if that was their only option, and the average fan would use 12.9% of their savings to see their favorite artist.
12.9?
I'm sorry, Joey, you can't go to college. I had to see Elton John. sorry about that one. My bad. But man, look at the video from this show. It was amazing. It was.
And you got your whole life to figure out college. You'll get there.
Hey, motivation. Get on out there. By the way, did I show you when he sang Goodbye Yellow Brick Road? It was really good. We will take a break. We'll come back with some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Let's get into this one. Think back to August. Starbucks brought back the pumpkin spice latte about 2 months early, and everyone was mocking I refuse to say PSL, a pumpkin spice lattes. You did it too. We all did. And then you hopped in your car and somebody probably got you one, or you got one or something like that. Well, people on social media are talking about the, quote, controversial things that people only pretend to hate. And here are a few of them. So this is kind of interesting. I think it's a little bit going back to the whole crying wolf thing.
Yeah.
A little, you know, you get bent out of shape about everything. Then what are you? Can we tell you're actually bent out of shape about something? Number one on the list was pumpkin spice. A lot of people talk trash about pumpkin spice, and then you see them with a pumpkin spice.
Yeah, well, because it was such a huge fad for a while, and it still is. But now it just comes with that negative connotation of, well, you're going to get made fun of if you eat something pumpkin.
Right.
Or, you know, what's next? Pumpkin spice nail polish? Pumpkin spice edible underwear? Where are we going to go next?
Yeah. Fanatics, like the fan bases of Taylor Swift, BTS, and Marvel. People make fun of these fan bases, and then they are a part of the fan bases.
I'm not a fanatic, but I do really like that one album by Taylor Swift.
I've done this where I'll make fun of another superhero movie just came out. But will I see that movie? Yes. Yeah. I will see every one of them. Yes. Number three on the list, Nickelback or Creed. People make fun of those bands, but they've got to have a fan base out there somewhere.
Well, yeah, because they're very, very popular.
Very popular. Both those bands have sold a lot of albums.
Uh-huh.
It's somebody's buying them. I just don't know who. I really, really would. I've never genuinely met a true fan of either of those bands, but they're huge. They're really big. So yeah. Melissa is.
A Creed CD.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
in high
cool.
school.
Right on.
I don't know all their music, but I had one.
I think this is a good one. The word moist. Yep. There are people that will lose their mind if you say that word.
Yes.
And they will let you know, too. The people that don't like this word, they will go out of their way to let you know. They will like go across the room to say, hey, did you say moist? They'll come at you.
Did you say that word? Don't say that word.
But then they use the word. And then they use the word themselves, too. So I don't know. Emojis. Not just emojis. I don't know. I don't know where to go with that one. I'm not sure. Maybe people that make fun of using emojis, but then they use emojis. I don't know.
I think that there was the transition period between people getting used to them in text and people being like, can't you just type words? I don't understand what these faces mean. What's with the hands? Are we praying? Are we doing yoga? What's happening? So I think that's, you know, it's a bit of a learning curve of.
Yeah.
And there's also the, well, what does this emoji mean to you? These are going to be therapy questions someday.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think you're right. Yes, definitely.
I mean, my life is so messed up because I thought the hands together was a yoga thing. And here it's prayer.
It's prayer.
Like, I haven't, but you know what I mean.
But I know exactly what you mean. I think you're onto something. The American versions of international cuisines, like tacos, pizza, and Chinese food, just because it's not, quote, authentic and traditional. We get made fun of these, but people overseas tend to love our food, when our versions of these foods.
Americanized culture food.
They'll bash them, and then they'll eat them.
Yeah.
Apple or Google? Yes. Oh, yeah. I can't stand these search engine, these companies nowadays, blah, 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 this and this and this. And what are you using for a search engine? Google.
I use Backrub.
Nice.
Which is the former name for Google.
That's right. I took me a second. That was good. That was too good. I apologize. That was very funny. I was just thinking in my head of like Ask Jeeves, like some of the old search engines and everything. I was thinking about this the other day. Does anybody remember Tom from MySpace?
Nope.
Well before Facebook, when you created a MySpace account, you got a friend right away, and it was Tom. And it was he was the creator of MySpace.
He was your first friend.
Yeah. And of course, MySpace has gone to the wayside now and all this. But I wonder, because from what I've read and everything, he's doing okay. He did fine financially.
Well, good for Tom.
I wonder if every once in a while Tom sits back, sees the whole Facebook thing, and like, I dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
Like, kind of got out of the game at a good time.
Got the right time.
Got out of the good time. Yep. But it turns out not so bad that MySpace went to the wayside. Got it worked out. Pineapple on pizza.
Oh yeah, people get so outraged over that, and it's silly.
It is.
It's a topping. Either you like it or you don't.
Mm. It does seem like we like to create these mounds out of molehills kind of situations. We've always been guilty of this as a society, not just America, but people in general. But yeah, it does seem like it happens a little bit more.
Although it is great fodder for small talk.
Yeah. Nice tie-in. Air fryers. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know why.
Who's outraged over air fryers?
Yeah, air fryers catching strays all of a sudden for no reason. I don't know why.
That's a little odd.
Yeah.
It's a handy kitchen gadget if you have room. Mm-hmm. It's something you want in your kitchen.
Well, you know.
It's better than a deep fat fryer.
424-2600. If you know why air fryers are on the list, please join the conversation.
Yeah, please tell us. We're very confused.
And I would certainly love to hear if you have any of these. What are some controversial, some things that you think people get bent out of shape, but they actually do use the product or whatever.
Or it's really not that controversial.
Yes. And quote, the drama. And they're still stirring it. Like, I know people like this, and I have even been guilty of this one. All I want in my life is a little less drama. I just want some calm. I just want things to be relaxed. I've felt this for many decades of my life. I have felt like, I want some drama, I want some calm. What are the industries that I choose to spend the rest of my life in? Where have I gone with my time? Even when I'm not doing this, work, what are my free time all associated with and stuff? And
I just always say I like to keep my drama on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning, you're on the show.
Is it a water fountain or a bubbler?
That's a good one.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Which way do you fall on that one?
Bubbler.
Bubbler, yeah. Nice. Right on.
I think it's just more fun to say bubbler.
It is a little more fun.
Or is it a Coke or Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one.
That's a great one. Supper or dinner? That's one that I'd run into. I had kids. I always said dinner, but out here, most of the kids said supper, at least the kids that I was around. And I would confuse the daily. What is this? What are you talking about? What, it was just weird. It was a weird moment. It was. Thanks for the calls.
I guess I'm trying to think of one other one, but that just slipped my mind.
Well, thank you for playing along.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Have a good one. That was good. That was good. Those are good ones.
Well, and you bring up supper or dinner. That is a good note because growing up, dinner was at noon.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, for farmers. That's what my mom always said. Dinner is at noon.
Gotcha. All right. Now I got you. Yeah. There.
So
now
there, that's a question of dinner or lunch.
Interesting.
And then supper was always at night.
Right on. That's pretty good. That was a pretty fun list. That was pretty good. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. We'll take more calls after Melissa's news if you guys got other feedback on this or really
anything
else.
Something you thought
of. We're also collecting votes for your favorite dairy product.
Just this week yet, though.
Yeah.
We're almost done with that.
It's wrapping up this week. And we'll be able to give the results to Taylor tomorrow when Miss Allison Dairyland joins us on the morning show here at WFHR. Here's Melissa's news. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Happy Tuesday. Little Soundgarden Black Hole Sun to intrude us into this. There's a lot of talk these days about places having vegetarian or plant-based stuff, and that is all very good. It is not only smart economically, but inclusive and more representation. It is important.
Good marketing.
It's just smart marketing first, and not maybe first and foremost, but definitely a part of it. I mean, you're a business. Why not if you have an ice cream, why not have that same ice cream that's available for people that like ice cream and also people who can't eat dairy products and stuff? Makes very much that sense. The first time I saw Ben and Jerry's doing this, I'm like, yeah, of course you should do this.
Right.
So it's just smart business, but there are also a lot of people out there who consider themselves carnivores. And that is still fair game, obviously, as well. There's a new ranking of the best cities in America for meat eaters, and it's comprehensive. They considered factors like the numbers of steakhouses, barbecue restaurants, burger spots, and butcher shops, along with local meat quality, as well as demand for meat in the area.
Okay.
So where are the best place to go for us dinosaurs? Where do they go? Well, in the end, Miami was named the top city for meat lovers.
Really? I would not have picked that.
I'm a little surprised it's the top one, but I'm not too surprised that it would be in the top five.
Yeah.
You've got a huge Cuban influence there, and a lot of Cuban food has to do with meat. Almost every, a lot of products with the Cuban food has a lot to do with it. And then you look at Spanish food in general, has a lot of different pork and a lot of that.
Well, and a lot of tourists. And when you eat out, typically, you're spending a little bit more on your food. You're eating the food you don't necessarily make at home.
That's good. You're right about that one. Las Vegas was the runner-up, followed by Atlanta, Minneapolis, San Francisco, Oakland, Portland, Oregon, Boston, Denver, and Kansas City.
Kind of bounced all over.
Yeah, you don't usually see that.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting to me. I'm not too surprised by Atlanta, although we don't see them top in the lists of most of our lists and everything.
Yeah, but we're talking about meat eaters, James.
Southern barbecue, Southern food. Yeah, gotcha. Minneapolis, not too surprising.
Nope.
And seeing Kansas City in there, not surprising at all. One of the homes of barbecue. Portland, Oregon surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, they get labeled yuppie a lot.
Yeah.
And, the food alternatives, smoothie bars and, tree huggers.
Along with that, San Francisco.
I don't mean anything negative by any of those statements. But, yeah.
These are the labels that they get associated with. Mm-hmm. San Francisco went from being the hippie capital of the world to being labeled the yuppie capital of the world to being labeled the this. You know, right. These things happen.
And it changes with whatever spin you're trying to put on things.
Yeah. I spent a good portion of time in San Francisco when I was out that way. I didn't run into one hippie. I didn't want to run one hipster or yuppie or any of that stuff or anything.
Just people.
Like, in a great museum. One of the greatest museums I've ever been in my life. You get to San Francisco, check out that museum. That one surprised me the most, I think, is San Francisco. But Miami may have been number one overall, but Vegas was named the best city for steakhouses, mostly because there are 119 of them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Their buffets are pretty crazy out in Vegas.
I had a layover in Vegas. That's the only time I've ever spent out there.
Mm.
So I don't really have a reference point of Vegas that isn't, you know, based on movies or TV shows or something like that.
My dad and I took a road trip out there years and years and years ago for a bike convention. Huh. And while we were out there, we went to a lot of really good buffets because the casinos often have a really nice restaurant, and they'll have a buffet, and then they'll also sometimes have like a steakhouse, and then there's options within every single casino pretty much for any kind of food you want. But yeah, there's a lot of steakhouses.
I've heard this before. The art is to get you into the casino, and then you never want to leave because you got
everything you want.
You got your drinks.
You got shopping. You've got entertainment.
There's an ATM right here for you.
Oh, yeah.
You don't
got
to leave to the bank. ATM right here.
Don't go outside. It's hot.
Keep gambling. We got air conditioning. We got everything. Yeah, it's smart.
You know what's hard to find in those casinos now? The penny slots.
I bet. That's a shame.
Now they're all nickel, dime, and quarter.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
And dollar bills.
Mm-hmm. Right outside the top 10, Milwaukee. Milwaukee just barely missed the top 10. Kansas City at 53%, Milwaukee at 49%. So just barely missed the top.
We're so close.
Detroit at 13, so seeing some Midwest cities in here and everything.
Yeah, but Minneapolis made the list, so.
I wish I could remember the name of the restaurant, but one of the better steaks I've ever had was in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right before a Pantera concert. It was amazing. It was really good stuff, too. And at number 25, Chicago.
Hey.
I thought they'd be way up on this list. That's a little surprising to me, but I the numbers speak for themselves. Interesting list. That was interesting. Yeah. I think that locally here we've got some great spots when it comes to if you are a meat lover, you know, you've got some plenty of places around here to check out and try.
You know, I don't think that I've ever ordered a steak in Wisconsin Rapids. It's not my go-to order at a restaurant food, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of really great burgers. And I order chicken a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Right up.
But we do have a lot of really good restaurants here.
We can say that you can say you order chicken a lot on this station. If we say it on WIRI, we don't know, our nameless chicken might get offended. Might take it a little personal.
But it's a good thing we shut the door.
Very good. Very good. We're taking a break. Coming back with more fun and more imaginary animals on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Often walked down the street before, but the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before.
Is that Nat King Cole?
All at once am I, several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
I don't know the singer, but I know the song.
It does sound a little like him. I don't know if it is or not.
Do you know what movie this is from?
Oh, I should.
Mm-hmm.
I should.
My Fair Lady.
It is My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been too long since I've seen that. That's a good one. That's a good flick. That is a good one. Got some local stuff we're going to get to in a moment. Speaking of which, telling you what's coming up here at the station for today. We got a great one for you lined up in Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 today for that. And a big shout out to everybody that has been joining us there in that time slot. Playmakers has been growing in its audience in that time slot. And I've been hearing from people that they have not heard, they didn't hear Morning Magazine, but they've been hearing Midday Magazine.
Ah, because they listen at a different time.
They're more free in the afternoon. afternoon, so they've been able to catch it and check it out and everything. We greatly appreciate you doing that. Now, if you do, if you are busy at that time of day and you miss the morning magazine show and everything, you don't have to miss it at all. It's still there for you at civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
All of our shows are podcasted.
Indeed. You can also get it on your app, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Be sure to do that. Download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps.
Stream us, please, please, please.
Yes, please stream us. Everybody, please stream us. I did want to mention that Midday Magazine guest today to kick off the week, our good friend Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
And then in part two, we're going to talk with Kayla, visitation coordinator with the Family Center.
Oh, good.
I really enjoy talking with Kayla, and of course, anybody that we get to talk to at the Family Center, we always look forward to that. Rafter baseball on your radio dial tonight as well. Rafters dropped the first game of the series last night, 3-1, against the Pitt Spitters. They outhit them 9-6, though. They've been outhitting most teams they played this year, win or lose.
Yeah.
Let's
just
see.
Just got to get those feet across the home plate.
Yes, yeah, that's it. That's all we're looking to do here. We're looking for more of that tonight at Winter Field. Join us, at Traverse City tonight.
Mm-hmm. They're in Michigan.
Yeah, they're in Michigan for tonight's game.
Which means a different time zone, which threw me yesterday. So I announced the start of the game at the wrong time.
Not a 5:50 start, 6:50 start.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. Yeah.
But except, no, that's their time.
That's their time.
That's their time. Yeah. Our time,
5:50.
Still
5:50. Yes.
Our poor guys over there are, you know, experiencing jet lag. Yeah. That's what happened yesterday. Tonight, they'll be on.
You know what? I got a great solution. Just keep it right here. Just keep it right here.
Right.
Why go around to all these other radio stations, mess around with pushing buttons and everything? You keep it right here, and you're fine. You're good.
Yeah.
Root on your Rafters all season long right here at WFHR. Looking forward to more Rafter baseball coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And them getting back in the win column. Before we get to our local good stuff, Melissa, I want to touch on a That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
Have you heard about the trouble FedEx is in with their odometer on their old delivery trucks?
No.
It's like that scene in Ferris Bueller where they try to roll back the miles on the dad's Ferrari, except it's a much bigger deal than that. Although, Camden or whatever his name was in the movie, he felt pretty bad. Ferris Bueller, great movie. It doesn't hold up really because that stuff couldn't really happen anymore.
No.
But the movie takes place in my city, in Chicago. Chicago's biggest rival hockey-wise is the Detroit Red Wings. How dare you have one of the main characters running around in that movie throughout the streets of Chicago in a Detroit Red Wings jersey? It's bad filmmaking. That's just bad filmmaking.
They didn't do their research.
King Ralph, you've got John Goodman in a Bears jacket and a Packer hat. Come on, move. Come on, Hollywood. Get your stuff together. I digress. Ferris Bueller, they try to put the dial back. That's what they're doing over at FedEx, and they're in a huge trouble for this. A new lawsuit accuses them of rolling back the odometers on thousands of their old delivery trucks and then selling them for more than they were worth.
Oh, that's not cool.
Ooh, that's wrong. They used to scrap their trucks then when they hit 350,000 miles. But the lawsuit says that around 2011, they created a new revenue stream and started selling them. They'd send them to auctions where people would buy them and turn them into things like food trucks. But they're accused of subtracting a ton of mileage first. So you got a new business. You're starting out this food truck. You get an old FedEx truck and you get a deal on it.
Right. And you think you've only got 150,000 miles on it?
That's low.
That's illegal.
Yeah.
That's highly illegal.
Yeah.
That's odometer tampering.
This ain't going to end well.
Is that a federal crime?
I don't know if it's a federal crime. I know it is a crime.
Right.
I'm positive of that. But that's a great question if it's a federal crime, especially on this level, on this scale.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel that it is.
This might, you know, go very badly for FedEx.
Yeah, I'm not saying that as an opinion. I'm saying it like I actually think it is a federal crime. I believe I've heard certain things like this before with crimes like with when people stealing converters.
The catalytic converters.
Catalytic converters and how big that has been. I think that if you do, like if you steal one in this state and try to sell it in another state, I believe it is a federal crime. I think. I'm not 100% on that. You want to look it up. Do not take my word verbatim.
I'm looking it up.
But as far as continuing the story, a commercial truck dealer in Nevada says he found out about it after he sold an old FedEx truck in 2017. The odometer said 180,000 miles, but when the seller hooked it up to a computer, it actually read 400,000 miles.
It is actually a federal crime. Yeah. The government made odometer tampering a felony. The federal penalty for odometer tampering is up to $10,000 and or 3 years in prison.
Whoa. And the company is going to be facing this. Yeah. A bunch of food truck owners are now suing FedEx and a company they worked with called Holman Automotive. If what they're accused of is true, it could be the largest odometer fraud scheme in U.S. history. And it could very well be the end of FedEx. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not exaggerating. That's not hyper. I'm not, like, trying to sensationalize the story. I know business. I would think anybody that understands business, we've seen companies be bankrupt before because of things smaller than this.
And I just hope that the responsible parties are the one who takes the fall for it.
Yes, because the first thing I thought of with this story, Melissa, and I wasn't necessarily going to say it out loud, fall guy.
Yeah.
There's going to be a fall guy for this. And yeah, it ain't going to be...
You know, those CEOs, their hands were clean. Right, they didn't actually turn the knobs.
I love how a defense in business is, I didn't know what was going on behind my back, or I didn't know what was going on in my own company. That's a legitimate excuse in like the Supreme Court or something like that. And you're walking up there and you're Mark Zuckerberg and you're like, well, I didn't know what was going on over here. My company's too big.
It shouldn't be okay.
No. I don't care how big or small your company is. Everything starts at the top. Mm. You don't get to take credit for things if you aren't willing to take responsibility for things. That's just business 101.
At least to some extent. I mean, obviously there's things that can happen in a company that you did have no knowledge of.
True, but you still have to own that. That's mm-hmm. That's why you get the big paycheck. That's why you get to be called boss.
Yep.
You don't get those things for nothing. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that there are plenty of times in history, in business history especially, where something happens at a small store, or what we were just talking about with that janitor company. You know, that janitor company, we don't know that company. Maybe they're great. They're really good at their business. They hire one knucklehead who happens to unplug one thing,
yeah,
and the whole company's out. But the owners of that company have to take responsibility mm-hmm. for that. That's on their watch.
Yep, they hired that person.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's right, but that's why it's in our That Ain't Right stories. I mean, this makes it.
Hence the placement.
I need a palate cleanser. We got a bunch of good local good stories coming up, including one of them happening tomorrow right here at this radio station in the 9 o'clock hour. Taylor Schaefer going to join us. Allison, Dairyland's own.
Yeah.
Great way to wrap up June Dairy Month.
Oh,
Taylor's going to come and talk with you and Seth and I tomorrow on the show. It's going to be fun.
All things dairy.
Other good local stuff going on right here in the area.
The Wisconsin Rapid City Band is performing on Tuesday, July 27th. Hey, that's today.
Yeah.
At 7:30, they will be, also, this one is special because they're combining with 132nd Army Guard Band. Mm. They're going to be playing at Robinson Park, 7:30. You want to make it down there. It's going to be family fun, music, ice cream. There's a play area for the kids. This is also their 160th year anniversary.
Wow.
160 years.
I did not realize that. That is impressive. Yeah, actually, I did. I did an interview with him the other day. But it's really cool. It's really cool.
And just a note, most of the concerts usually start at 7:30, as does the one tonight. But next week for the 4th of July special, they will start at 7 at the Centralia Center, as opposed to Robinson Park, where they are tonight.
Very cool. Our great friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo have a fun event going on today. It's Marvelous Monarchs at 11, 1, and at 4. Kathy McGrath from Port Edwards is a monarch enthusiast and has been raising the butterflies for over 25 years. She'll explain the life cycle of the monarchs and how you can raise them yourself and their importance as pollinators.
Aw, cool.
That's a good one. More good things coming up at Helen's Zoo House in July and August. We'll talk more about those as we get closer. But you can visit the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo and Helen's Zoo House anytime. They're on 1911 Gaynor Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow morning, our great friends at the American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin will be opening their doors for another American Heroes Cafe from 7:30 to 9:30 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. A big thank you to all the refreshments provided and all the volunteers that help out make this That's happen. Great. Big thank you to all of them. Mm-hmm. And be listening. We're getting wrapping up the end of the month here. Our good friend Bill Heck will be joining us with the monthly veterans update in July. Be on the lookout for that.
Nice.
All right, good stuff, good local stuff, all aboard, all around. I wanted to get to a couple of audio good stories right here. I got a great one about a teen who walked 2 hours for eighth grade graduation, earning himself a full scholarship. I'll play a little of this for you right now.
I remember something that Mr. Sales told me. He said, if I want it, I got to go get it. So I wanted to graduate, so I went to go get my graduation.
It spoke volumes to me. It spoke resilience. That is what sparked my interest in saying, hey, this is a type of kid that we want to recruit to Harris Stowe.
That's awesome.
Got him a full scholarship.
Wow.
Not bad, young man. Not
Way
bad.
Way to persevere.
Yeah, yeah. That is pretty darn cool. How about this dog? A West Virginia dog is getting praise for finding over 150 Frisbee golf discs. The best part is when people come to pick up their missing discs, they can donate to the Marshfield County Animal Rescue League.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Kelly Mason talking about her dog Daisy's ability to sniff out the discs.
Daisy, my yellow Labrador retriever, has a nose for finding discs. We will be walking through the park, and her nose will go up. She can smell them, and she just goes off. She could go off 30 weeds through the Malta Florosa, the high weeds, and here she comes with a disc.
That's hilarious.
Did you see the picture of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, where it's just this dog in the middle and surrounded by all of these Frisbee golf discs is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's cool because the people that don't get them, I read that they're then going to sell them and the money's going to go to help pay for that park.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really beautiful story. Mm-hmm. It actually really is a very cool way of turning something like that into something like that. It's really interesting.
My dog has a nose for discs.
A firefighter in Florida just adopted a baby that was left outside his station back in January.
Oh, my.
Someone left her in a safe haven baby box, which a lot of fire departments have now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who found her. Her name is Zoe, and she's 5 months old now. Mm-hmm. He and his wife had been trying to have kids for over a decade, so they're thrilled. He says he looked into he locked eyes with Zoe, and that was it. He loved her immediately.
That's so sweet.
That one got me a little bit. Yeah, I'm sorry.
But that's really precious.
That got me. I don't know why. I should have pre-read that. I would have been able to prepare. Woo, that hit me. A guy in New Jersey just got his class ring back after 51 years after losing it.
Wow.
It slipped off at the beach in 72, and he figured he'd never see it again. But someone just found it in the sand and tracked him down.
Awesome.
That is pretty cool. I'm sorry. That really got me. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. That is really cool, though. That is a really cool story. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had anything like that happen. I can't imagine something like that. Like, you lose something and you
That's
get it.
That's very precious to you.
Yeah.
You hear that with like wedding rings and bands and class rings, too. It's neat that they can find them.
I could see letting go of that item emotionally and then the what that must feel
50
like.
50 years later.
Yeah. And a 4-year-old Labrador in West Virginia is raising money for charity by doing what she loves. And we just started our segment with that, of course. But I didn't get to mention how much she loves this. And I don't know if I mentioned that she's been doing this for 3 years. I thought that was pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. I wanted to wrap.
It's awesome that that's what she always comes back with, though, too.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's always Frisbee golf discs.
Every
time. It's not, softballs and golf balls and...
Every time. Every time. It's a good show with you, Melissa. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Have a good one out there, everybody. We'll be back with more fun tomorrow morning from 8 to 10 right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.